This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. One final show before the long holiday weekend.
All right, a little three-day weekend.
Yes, sir.
For most people, sir. Not everybody. That's true. Don't have to be the person who texts in and says, we don't all get Memorial Day off. I understand.
We understand.
We get it.
A lot of people are going to have a long weekend. Some of you are already out of town. I can tell by driving in today.
There was no traffic.
It's empty out there, man. Empty out there. Yeah, no traffic. It's the holiday weekend. Unfortunately, we're not going to get like 85 degrees and sunny, and it's not going to be a great pool or lake weekend, although I know some of you are still going out of the lake because yeah, you just want to be around the water. I totally get it. But it's definitely a Friday before Memorial Day weekend, judging by driving around, frankly, judging by even like a little bit of the social media this morning from the lack of activity, all of it.
No one in our buildings here. I can tell you
it's
that.
It's very empty
There's
downstairs.
There's like 7 people working at Odyssey today, and 3 of them are getting ready to leave from the morning show. So I don't know. You know, eventually Carrington will roll back in. Carrington and Rob to replace them.
Oh, yeah, they'll be here, you know, for sure.
Gonna be, I think, a quiet. But you're right. The whole weekend vibe is bad. Like, it doesn't feel like a three-day weekend where I can, like, be outside, grill, be in a pool, whatever, right? Can't do any of that stuff. So I guess I'll go take my kids to see the Lilo and Stitch movie, even though...
Oh, is that what you're going to see?
The first one, that's what they want to go see. Although, I hate live-action kids movies. They stink, and they should stop making them. They're never as good as the original animated one. I don't want to watch Mufasa, Simba stunk. I don't want to see any of them. Stop doing it. The cartoon was better. It feels weird, and I don't like it. So, like, I'm not looking forward to it. But, yes, I'm probably going to take my kids to see
the new Mission Impossible movie, man. That's what I want to see.
I don't think I can take my 8 and 6-year-old to see that, can I?
Do you not go to movies with you and the wife, or you just by yourself or with friends or something? You don't have to go with your kids in every movie, right?
No, but it takes getting a sitter, so it's a little bit more of a challenge. I'm not anti that for sure, but a little bit more of a challenge.
You know, just see if your wife will watch the kids. You go watch the movie you want to do. No problem at all, I'm sure.
We've done that every once in a while. Because I've told you, I get the free movie pass, so I'll be like, I'm going to go see a movie. Like, the best time actually is right when we get off the show. Because then I only miss part of the time they get off the bus.
There you go.
Get to catch a flick by myself. Just go see the Mission Impossible by myself.
Just go this afternoon.
You and I can go together. I can get you a free
showing.
Ticket.
There you go. 220 showing, I'm sure, somewhere at some theater.
What's the closest theater for, like, we live in different parts of town.
The one right down here is Merriam, right here.
The Merriam 20?
Yeah, right here.
Right there by IKEA?
That's the closest.
IKEA?
From this building, the closest by far.
A lot of screenings there back in the day.
That would be the closest if we were trying to do that. So anyway, hope everybody's having a good Friday and kickstarting the weekend. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. I already see a couple texts coming in. Once again, congrats to those that are graduating this weekend. Our listener, Michael, who's down in Florida. So I just wanted to shout out his daughter, who is graduating high school, about to be University of Florida Gator. So, yes, congrats to your daughter, Olivia. Congrats to anybody that's graduating this weekend. I know all that's going on, man. A lot of grad parties, a lot of graduations, whether we're talking about high school, middle school, college, you name it.
Was it Carrington yesterday? Carrington yesterday. He said that we do too many things for kids' graduations.
Well, I mean, high school and college is a big deal.
No, but he was like making it seem like we can't do like the pre-K one. I said, it's just for cute photo stuff. No one's like, wow, look at what this kindergartner accomplished. They're just doing it for cute, you know, cute reasons. Oh, look at my kid in a little cap and gown. That's
tiny. Just for that particular family. Let them enjoy that moment. And yeah, I'm with you.
That's all. I think it was, I mean, my kids did not have a kindergarten graduation. I think they do a fifth grade one when they eventually get to that level. But like my kids, you know, I still got a couple of years on that one. Although I did have the parent moment where I was like, okay, so she's got like, my kids have 3 days left of school or something. So when they wrap up school next week, she'll be done with third grade. I was like, oh man, then she's in fourth. I'm like, fourth is dangerously close to fifth, which is not an elementary school anymore. And I know I was like fast forwarding a little. I was like, I don't know how I like the way that sounds. I'm not ready to have a middle schooler gold. That makes me
make you feel old. Huh?
Yes.
Just a little bit.
And I'm not even that sensitive about my like age is never like, I've never like gotten that hung up on it. And you're like, I don't know. It's more about like how old they are. You're like, middle school. Oh no. And we all agree that that's the worst time of everyone's life.
There's a lot of changes going on. A lot of changes
Man. Big emotions, big body changes. Yeah. Everything's just awkward and uncomfortable. Terrible time.
All right, let's start talking about the Royals, though, here, as they have a huge series in Minnesota. They were off yesterday. It begins this evening in Minneapolis against the Twins. I think it's big for obvious reasons. One, anytime right now where you're dealing with a stretch without Reagans and Lugo, every game is going to feel big because you're trying to avoid any bit of slide while you're buying some time till those guys get back. And then I still think the bigger, really month-long conversation will still be, how long can you stay afloat, be 5-6 games above 500 until you might have reinforcements for the offense in AAA, or of course a month plus from now talking external candidates. But you know how tight the division is. We went through it earlier this week. The games that the Royals have left against divisional opponents, we know where the Twins are at. Four teams would be in the postseason, I believe, out of the Central if it began today. So when you have a chance to double up, basically, in a head-to-head fashion against Minnesota, you get a series win versus the alternative, it can really sway things quite a bit for this early on in the season.
Yeah, it's a huge weekend. And I think largely because of what you, like, not just the opponent you're playing, but the idea that because the Tigers and Guardians are playing each other, if you win this series, you catch up on two teams. Not just one, you catch up on two. Vice versa, you lose this series against Minnesota and you've lost ground on two different teams. And you don't want to run into a weekend where, like we've said, you're already kind of feel like you're in the treading water camp because of the way the season started, Gold, and that goes back to where they were, because they started so slow this year. They made up all that ground with the winning, but now they're still stuck where, like, it doesn't really feel like you can afford just laying a bunch of eggs in a row or falling too far behind in the division too many row. Look, barring a sweep, or a sweep on the other side of you, I don't think you're going to lose all the ground in the world. It's important not to get swept by the Twins in Minnesota. But it does feel like a big weekend where you can be like, okay, we're back. I mean, look at the hypothetical. Guardians take 2 of 3 out of the Tigers, and then you go ahead and take 2 out of 3 against the Twins. Okay, right now, all three teams are 5 games back of the Tigers. Guardians, Twins, and Royals are all 5 games back of the Tigers. All right, great. Well, they just lost 2 of 3. You just won 2 of 3. You're a full game closer. The Guardians are a full game closer. You're a game clear of Minnesota now all of a sudden. Like, it just feels like a big, like, let's start moving things in the right direction. And I want to make sure that they can play well against the division. The first time against the division didn't go so great. That was when they were playing bad baseball, Gold. But when they went through that Yankees, Tigers, Guardian stretch, you remember earlier in the season, they kind of got whipped a little. I'd like to see him put up a little bit more of a fight against the Twins, a little bit more of a fight against the Central. And because everyone's playing in the Central except for the White Sox, I don't know who the hell they're playing, who cares? They, you know, it does feel like kind of a mover's weekend. It feels like moving day for a major a little bit.
Yeah, it'll have long-term ramifications. I told you yesterday, though, it's hard to do the full-blown standings watching this early. It's more about how many games above 500 and then your head-to-head record against the division. It's not so much of tracking down, oh my gosh, with the win this weekend, a series win, we're, 3.5 back and they're 2 back of us. It's too early in the year for me to play that game, but I also recognize that we all will look at the series and season-long record that the Royals will have against the Twins and against the Tigers, against the White Sox, etc., and we know that ultimately will make up how this division race is going to go. So that's just kind of how it's kind of the same thing. I just view it a little bit differently because I'm not going to get bogged down like, on Monday, if we come in and they're only 2.5 back, or they got a 3-game lead on Minnesota, or they don't have a 3-game lead on Minnesota, it's more about for really the next month still, just like we talked about for the month of May, the same thing will apply in June. Can you be 5 to 10 games above 500 until you get some help offensively? And that's what will ultimately be more important. And part of that, of course, will involve beating divisional teams. So
I continue to follow some help offensively.
Yeah.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack Watch.
As you know, Jack Caglione is in AAA now, Gold.
Mm-hmm. Salt Lake out there last night.
I don't know if you were watching the game last night, but it turns out Jack Caglione is doing the same things in AAA as he was doing in AA.
Hudson lifts his left leg and comes home with a 3-0. Cag sends a line drive, a rocket out to right, and that one's out of here. The first AAA home run for the Royals' top prospect. Jack Caglione circles the bases, and the Chasers are back tied 3-3 in the top of the fifth.
Let
it
begin.
A slightly bigger version of Shohei.
That's right. That's right.
Did you hear how when he hit that ball? Like, I think he even hit
it. He hit it 114 miles an hour. He already has four pitches hit over 95 miles per hour of exit velocity in the three games, whatever the hell it is, he's played in Omaha.
Yeah, I think they're back in Omaha tonight. First, hope this will be his first game tonight in Omaha, because last night I think was still Salt Lake, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I think tonight is the first game for Caglione in Omaha. But yeah, not that we were wondering. Nice to see him this quickly, though, three games in, you know, whatever, get a home run and show what we already saw in AA and pick up right where he left off. As you said, the numbers can be skewed very quickly right now, but it's fun to look up and see what they are.
Yeah, three games in, he's hitting like 308, if I remember right. So every home run of his, to Drew's point, sounds like it's hit so mean.
Yeah, the crack of the bat's great.
It's so loud every time.
Yeah.
If he just keeps hitting like this, eventually that will be part of their solution.
I mean, even the first hit that he had, I think, where he beat out that ground ball, it sounded like he hit the ball hard, you know?
I mean, you know, Jim Callis yesterday said he's better. I think he's this is like a direct quote. I think he's better than Pete Alonso.
I think he's going to be better than Pete Alonso, and he's a bigger version of Shohei Ohtani offensively.
I mean, I could hear this all day.
He's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei.
Ooh, I mean, yeah. Okay, sure. Let's get most of that. But yeah, it's a big weekend. I'm looking forward to it baseball wise because we're all going to be stuck inside anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well at least enjoy some good baseball.
Yeah, as far as AAA, I know we're talking about Cags, and he's the headliner. He's their top prospect. He's a top 10 prospect in baseball. He's the prospect everybody around baseball, if you're following at all, is talking about. But for this series, or really for this big league team, yeah, Cags still might be a bit away this season, but guys that potentially could be part of the equation within the next 3 weeks or less, guys like Cam Devaney, guys like John Rave, obviously has been mentioned since really opening day, I feel like, at this point, as potential guys that could help this team. And so we'll see. Those are guys that we might see sooner. Cags, I still think, is we're going to have to wait a little bit longer, but more and more, it sure seems like it's going to be this year. It's just whether or not the month is going to be June, July, or August for one Caglione.
I don't think Cam Devaney is dead set on being an MLB star. He's 28 years old, but he is hitting like he's never hit before. And at some point, he's got 1,000 OPS in AAA right now, 309 average, 388 on base. This goes back to the Drew Waters point I had said to you before. I think at some point you got to look at what's happening with your lineup and understand that the options in AAA, even if they are 4A players who can only be good in limited stretches in the big leagues, are better options right now than maybe some of your big league bats until you can go about making those trades, go about getting Jack Caglione up after maybe 6 weeks, whatever you got to do to like bide yourself a little bit of time.
Yeah. Cause I had a listener last night, I think on X at Alex Gold at Cody B Tap on X respond to the tweet about Cag's home run last night. And they said, you know, basically like he should be up already right now. He would hit better than Renfro. And I responded, I was like, they can call up anybody from AAA if that's your only criteria, that they might hit better than Hunter Renfro. Like, that's not...
I mean, AAA roster now.
The goal of eventually calling up Cags is not just, well, he's better than Hunter Renfro. No, they can call up John Rave for that at any time. They can call up multiple pieces in AAA. If that's your own, like, that should not be the criteria of like, oh, they got to call him up because he'll be better than Renfro. No, that they're thinking bigger picture. That's why they're not rushing him, even though he's on a very fast track to the big leagues. It is not. I know we highlight Renfro because he is obviously not performed.
And he's everyone's least favorite player now. So he's become the butt of the jokes.
Totally get it. Totally get it.
Yeah.
But that's not the standard any of us should have for Cags. It should not be like, well, he'd just be better than Hunter Renfro. No kidding. That's not what you're striving for.
I mean, hope so. Yeah. Like almost anybody, like you said, who would get called up, I would think that is at least a possibility. I saw MJ got a home run last night, too.
Good for him.
They hit back-to-back-to-back homers last night, the Omaha Storm Chasers. For those asking if there's a place to watch them, I don't know. I just mostly catch the highlights
I think,
on social.
I think you can actually buy the MILB?
MILB?
Just like MLB.TV, I think there's an MILB or whatever package you can buy if you really want to watch them live, or you can just wait for the social media clips of Jack hitting a home run.
I don't think I'm watching an entire AAA game.
Yeah, give me the highlights of when Caglione's hitting the home runs, please.
You pretty much all send it to me the second it happens. So just keep doing that, and I'll never miss any Jacks.
It has reached that point. You're the same way then, where whether it's someone tagging me on social or just friends, family will send me a text. Hey, by the way, he sent a home run, and here's the video if I didn't already see it or whatever. Is that where it's at for you too? For sure, yeah.
If I didn't see the one last night first, multiple people had sent it to me before I was like, oh, Jack hit a homer. Okay, now I got to go find it and see what we have to offer.
That's right. That's right. Reminder, coming up later on today, it is a Fan Club Friday holiday edition heading into Memorial Day weekend. We've got Mackenzie Nelson from 41 going to join us in studio. I believe she's just back from vacation.
She was on vacation last week. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe like she, birthday. I don't know, it was Miami somewhere. I don't know if it was Mexico. I'm not
sure
where she was.
She finds a beach.
Smart.
She likes warm weather and a beach based on any vacation described before.
Who's going to complain about that? Beach sounds fantastic. So she'll join us. We'll find out about her trip. We'll talk some baseball. We'll figure out maybe some Memorial Day weekend traditions, because we were asked earlier in the week about Memorial Day weekend compared to 4th of July. And like, are there certain things like you just do? Is there certain things you eat that are different? So we'll get into all that, I'm sure, later on.
I also have got to ask her about, there was a guy's dating profile who went viral. Did you see this?
No.
This guy has swiped over 2 million times.
Wait, he keeps track of that?
And has secured a single date.
No. One, is he keeping track of how many swipes? Two, that means he's either very, very picky or something is wrong here.
Oh, no. It's his profile.
Because
it's definitely his profile.
Okay. Is he intentionally trying to turn people away by having his profile? Like, what's in his, when you say his profile, what does it say?
He talks about owning 22 snakes.
Oh, okay.
He said, if you don't want to go fishing, I don't want to date you. So like, that was the initial lead, but there's some other stuff. In his dating profile, he's wearing a shirt that says ass on my face, I think. And then it's got a silhouette of two of that act.
Hang on.
So like, he's got some problems, Gold. He's got some problems.
Wait, so you said he swiped 2 million times or whatever it is, and he hasn't secured a date.
He got one date.
This is based on, though, I would assume, there's conversation before setting up the date, not just based on the picture or the profile, because maybe he's driven away a lot of people based on the conversations.
Well, he's gotten some conversations with people, but obviously that's not going great either, as you can imagine. The chats, if he's getting to the chats, and I don't think he's getting to many chats, Drew.
Seem like it's going quickly.
It's not going great. So, yeah, I definitely want to ask her about that as well. I mean, it's important.
I was not aware of this whole story, so.
I'll send you the link for it. It's really good. It's really good. I don't know what's on your dating profile, Gold, but I imagine it's better than this guy.
It's not all that. All right, let's talk some NFL for a little bit, though, because we know just last Friday, a week ago, Brock Purdy got a brand new contract.
Yeah.
He gets a 5-year deal. It puts him as like the 8th or 9th on an annual basis highest paid quarterback in the league. And so James Palmer was on with Kay Adams, and she was talking to him about Patrick Mahomes and could a restructure be on the horizon?
I think Patrick, like I mentioned, the comparison to Brady, the amount of money they make off the field, they put into account and what they do in terms of hamstringing a team on the field in terms of salary cap. I would say we know this contract is so unique compared to every other deal in the NFL with the length of it, with the terms. I'll say this, Kay, like the relationship between Patrick and the front office and the constant communication of like, are you happy? Are you good where you're at? Is very, very good. And he will always be compensated accordingly. But I do know that he thinks of things a little bit differently. I think he'll be completely fine with what's to come.
For what's to come. He is going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL at some point. He pretty much already is. This is the funniest thing about his contract. Based on money he's being paid this year, based on money he was paid last year, Gold,
yeah,
they always find a way to get him paid. They just try, if they can, negotiate the contract in a way that massages it towards the cap.
And he's understanding of that. Like that, he's always spoken about, hey, while recognizing, you know, continuing to move the quarterback market forward and not causing basically problems for anybody else in terms of how he negotiates. But at the same time, he's all about legacy, and he wants to make sure his contract is structured so that they can continue to build a championship team around him. He's very cognizant of that. And I'm not saying other quarterbacks aren't, but that's why they did the 10-year deal with the rolling guarantee mechanisms, I mean, that are built into that. And so whatever a new contract or extension looks like, it will have, I'm sure, very similar flexibility involved to where, yeah, don't worry, he's not going to be the 20th highest paid quarterback in football or 15th. He'll be one of the top two or three initially, and then it'll fall off over time. Because right now, he's obviously outside the top 10 on a per
yeah.
It's weird, as you said, like on a per year basis. But
the money he's paid this year, correct, he's like the highest paid quarterback.
Right, right.
So like, yeah, the per year, he looks a little bit lower, but you and I both know, Gold, that that's not exactly the way that it works typically in this contract. At what point does an NFL team with a guy like Patrick Mahomes consider essentially the Shohei deal? They can't do deferrals, but they can do dead money years. Where, Gold, I wouldn't care if I was paying Patrick Mahomes $5 million 20 years from now on a deferred deal. That amount of money against my cap would essentially mean nothing based on where the cap will be 15 years from now. At what point will an NFL team at quarterback decide, hey, I'm going to get you all your money, every cent you're owed, every penny you're owed, but let's take a haircut now and let's swing for the damn fences, my guy. Let's put as many people around you as we can. Is there a point in the NFL that somebody's going to try that? It only just now started happening in baseball regularly, where teams like the Dodgers realize the financial benefit of paying this person 5 years from now, 10 years from now, slowly over a 20-year time period.
Well, the NFL
does the organization and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL doesn't allow deferrals.
They allow dead years.
You can do that's their equivalent to that. You can do the dead years, but it's not, you can't do deferrals in the same way baseball is totally.
I honestly think that both sports should get rid of those altogether. I should not be allowed to add dummy years on the contract. You should have to risk the contract that you're taking. I think it ruins part of the strategy. It ruins it. Like, I'm a GM who can make a mistake and then can afford that mistake over time. And so, like, there's part of me that really does wonder whether or not that's kind of a misidentification from a lot of these leagues. Major League Baseball in particular has got to find a way to cap it. But sometimes these dead years, as you know, they've gotten down into like four dead years camp.
They have, but none. I would have to look.
How long till we get 20 dead years down the road?
Yeah, I'd have to look on what that would mean for the star players. What I mean by that is, like, in baseball, the only people that are truly getting deferred usually are like Ohtani and these big, big contracts. In the NFL, what's the largest dead cap number? Do we know? Or dead, you know, void years or whatever that's on a number? Because we're just talking about a different stratosphere of numbers. Not to mention, in baseball, we know there's not a cap. NFL teams are not going to want to kick it down the road 20 years because the cap will still exist in 20 years. In baseball, the Dodgers can do it because they don't worry about the limitation that's going to have for them in 15 years or 10 years. There's never going to be any caps. They're never going to be like, man, we can't spend any money because we already allocated $70 million this year.
The cap's going so much. I think they can get around
20 years, though, down the road. 10 years, I think that's a bit much. I hear you, but I don't think the NFL will get to that point.
I'm just asking whether or not there are people. And like some of the for the same reasons Bobby Bonilla took it, which is, you know, somewhat obvious, I guess, is you're guaranteeing, like, for all the stories, sadly, the stories, Gold, we've had to hear over the years of, hey, they went broke 5 years after leaving the league, all this other stuff. You can protect, essentially, that you'll always have money coming in for as long as you want. They have, there were 73 contracts last year that are set to void in 2024. So, like, a year ago, they had 74 contracts that had void years added to them. So the number is going up. $15 million being the largest amount of dead money on void years in the NFL last year, but the number is set to go up. So, like, it just kind of depends. Kirk Cousins has some void years added on to the end of his contract. Now, look, he's not towards the end, but he definitely has void years. And so the real question is whether or not – I understand it's not out of control yet. I'm just asking, at some point, is a team going to make that same decision that we were talking about that eventually happened in baseball? And you're like, hey, man, would you mind getting paid for, you know, X number of years after? Because it's essentially just cap manipulation. They always know the cap's going to go up. They can just outrun it forever is their thought.
Coming up here in just a bit, we'll talk with Jake Eisenberg, Royals play-by-play broadcaster. We'll get his perspective on this series against the Twins. We'll talk to him a little bit more about Jack Caglione as well. We do have a little bit of an update down in New Orleans. We all know the prison escape. It's been going on for about a week now, right? I think it's about a week at this point in time. And there's
give or take.
Been a few other people arrested, not necessarily the inmates that escaped, but they've arrested a couple of people that were allegedly helping the inmates, not only with the escape, but maybe once they were out. But the latest, there's a news story, I believe we have, from, I'm not sure which TV affiliate, I think this is a CBS affiliate, WSDU. Listen to this involving the inmates and their escape.
I get this, including a local rideshare driver who tells us that he believes he gave a ride to one of those inmates, Litton Van Buren.
WDSU reporter Shay O'Connor is live from the jail with the message to other rideshare drivers. It's a story you'll see only on WDSU. Shay?
So I actually just spoke with that rideshare driver who tells me he's still in shock by what he saw and what he heard early yesterday morning during his last drive of the night. Take a listen. Now, picking up a man from a home on North Galvis in the Ninth Ward and bringing that person to Off Morrison in New Orleans East, he says the drive was booked by a woman. When the man entered the car, the driver tells me he tried to hide his face. He also recalls the man being on the phone with a woman who kept asking where he was in a panic. That driver tells me he was able to get a good look through his front mirror of the man who sat in his back seat. Today, that driver tells me the passenger was Linton Van Buren, one of those escaped inmates.
So he got an Uber. Or had someone request an Uber.
Getting an Uber?
I'm just saying, if you're on the run, you just got to avoid any public transportation like that. You know, it's one thing if you're trying to get on a Greyhound bus and you just hope that nobody notices
you. Didn't
that
one guy get caught going on Instagram Live?
Yes. Look, it turns out there may not be the smartest individuals. Some of them are in there for, you know, murder and other things as well. But there's a couple still out there. And this individual, I'm sure, is about to get
Fact that they now know roughly where he was getting an Uber. Mm-hmm. I did see some people in the comments being like, why'd you give him a ride? No offense. Well, if I know a convicted murderer, or I don't know, like a waiting trial, whatever, a guy in jail for murder or assault is in the back of my Uber, I'm just taking him to point B and then calling after he's out of sight of my car.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm not risking, because how's it go south? He'd be like, hey man, get out, not giving you a ride today. You're like, well, you are giving me a ride today. I'm a threatening person. You're like, well, that got worse. Now I have to take this guy anywhere, and I have no, you know, the app doesn't know where I am. I got no recourse. All this stuff is weird. I just take him where he was going and then figure it out. Wouldn't you?
Yeah. You can't risk your safety in that moment. We got more details on one of the people that were arrested for helping. So somebody was helping, accused of assisting an escapee who remains at large. They revealed that this individual was in contact with one of the inmates by phone before and after the escape, and also determined that she provided this inmate money through a cell phone app. That's how they were able to track it down. So we'll see if anything new happens with the prison escape.
Again, stay away from technology. Cash only.
New Orleans. Up next, we'll talk some more Royals baseball. Jake Eisenberg. Of course, you hear him here on 96.5 The Fan each and every Friday. And, of course, during Royals games throughout the entire season, we'll ask him about Noah Cameron making another start and also where this offense is going to head into this week and what it's going to look like heading into this weekend after a breakout performance against the Giants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, we're just getting started here on a Friday. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, of course, we've got a fun trash of the day to get to, plus the Chiefs Red half hour, 1 hour from now, including a look at the last 25 years or so, according to one publication. But let's keep talking a little Royals baseball. They are in the Twin Cities to begin a key series in the American League Central against Minnesota. We'll talk about Noah Cameron in a bit as well. We've got Jake Eisenberg, of course, joining us each and every Friday at 10:30. He's in Minneapolis, but I want to go back to San Francisco for a second. I heard you on the broadcast. Did you say you there's a, I've been to that park when it was named five other things, but you have been on the slide. There's two slides inside the Coke bottle. Is that right?
Yeah, this is, first off, hey guys, good morning. This is a little known thing. I didn't know this until I went to Oracle Park for the first time when I was calling games for the Mets in 2022. And I was walking around the ballpark and kind of just getting a feel for the place and exploring. And I was like, wait a minute, like, there's something here. Like, this isn't just a giant sculpture of a Coke bottle. Like, oh, there's actually like two playground slides in here. There's the Guzzler and the Twist Off. And I was like, that's a neat thing that I didn't know about, and I'm guessing some other people didn't either. So let's, you know, let's go down the slide. Let's live it up. Let's have the experience. And, you know, short of kayaking in the Covey Cove, like, you know, Joel and Hud, that's what I was able to do. So, yeah, it's a neat little thing. I love when we go to, like, different ballparks and places. I love taking a lap around a couple of the levels of the ballpark and just getting a feel for the place and seeing, like, you know, how they've decorated it, how they've set up, you know, this space, that space, what kind of quirks they have, you know, what the angles of the fence look like from a different perspective. You know, sometimes that helps too. When we were in Baltimore, like, I went out to left field to get a sense of like how the new left field wall looks now that it's been moved in. I'm of the opinion that, like, look, if I'm the conduit here, if I'm trying to bring the ballpark to you, and chances are maybe you've never been to that ballpark, I mean, how can I really accurately paint the picture of that ballpark if I haven't taken the time to walk around it myself and get as much of a feel as I can?
Does that include the ballpark food? Do you, you know, you get like a specialty item?
I mean, if I can, you know, physically consume it, you know, in my celiacness, absolutely. You know, I can't really try everything, you know, with the gluten-free diet that I have to keep. But that's why, you know, if there's an ice cream and a helmet somewhere, yeah, I'm there. I'm first in line.
Yeah, you just got to find the thing that works for you. I like it. When we were talking about the big series coming up against the Twins, I kind of view it big for both reasons. Both, it's a division opponent. They're all five games back of the Tigers right now. But by winning this series, you could hypothetically catch up on two teams. Because the Guardians and Tigers are playing each other, the people who come out victorious in this series will have, you know, made up a little ground on the other.
Yeah, I agree. I also, and I think you guys will agree with this because I've heard you talk about it. Like, it's still May 23rd.
Yeah.
You know, like, I will say it does strike me that, you know, come Sunday, the Royals will have played 54 games, which is one third of the season. Like, I think there is something to that in looking up and saying, okay, We're now a third of the way through the year. Where are we? But the truth is, like, even a third of the way through the year, where are we? Does that really, you know, bear weight for where we'll be two thirds of the way through the season? Like for me, like, yeah, you want to keep it close in the division. You know, anything, I think, more than, I'll say, 10 games, like, you'd be pretty, you know, that'd be tough. But I mean, look, the Astros last year made up a 10 game lead on the Mariners in a span of a month between June and July in the AL West. You know, like, it's that's a thing. Like, the truth is, like teams are streaky. So, like, as far as the standings go, yeah, I see all these teams grouped together and it's going to be a battle. And when you think about tiebreakers down the stretch, like, yeah, that stuff, it definitely matters. Don't get me wrong. It matters. But whether or not the Royals are in fourth place or third place or second place at the end of this weekend, ultimately, I don't know how much that particularly matters.
Talking with Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan. Jake, how much stock do you put in, I guess, in baseball to momentum and whether or not it just kind of can take one day to maybe get somebody going? I'm talking about Salvador Perez, obviously, after a three-hit day and hits that two-run home run to the opposite field. It had been since early April that he had a home run. Do you feel like that's something that can get him going?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was the second longest homerless drought of his career. I hope it's something that can get him going because that's the kind of thump that the Royals need. They're still last in baseball in home runs. I fully believe in that kind of momentum. I think I believe in offensive momentum a little bit more than I believe in pitching momentum, especially with starters because they're going every fifth day. And, like, yeah, things are humming along, but, like, that's a decent amount of time between starts. So each start is in its own silo to some degree where hitting, you're doing it every day and, like, you feel good or you don't. I think with Salvi in particular, and this is something I've been keeping an eye on really since the beginning of the season, like, he is still the unluckiest hitter in baseball when it comes to his expected batting average and expected slugging percentage based on his batted ball data. He still has the widest gap between his actual batting average and his expected batting average, which, you know, tells you that, like, there is going to be some what I call progression to the mean, if you will. And so I think that's good because if the Royals are doing this right now without Salvi being, like, really, truly Salvi, like, when that slugging percentage goes from the 346 that it is now to the 521 that it's supposed to be, when it winds up somewhere in the middle of that, like, yeah, you're going to see the thump that we've been looking for.
I think that's kind of the missing piece because I don't even think people have realized how much better Vinny's hitting because the offense is still struggling. You don't really notice it, Jake. You're like, is Vinny hitting any better? Because they just look at the batting average based on what it is in the season, not what he's done over the last 4 weeks, which is hit like normal Vinny Pasquantino. And so I feel like if Salvi could come around with what Michael is doing, well, then that 1-5 starts to look more like what it was supposed to.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when it comes to, like, season-long numbers, like season-long rate stats, I'll be honest, I don't really look at those all that much, with the exception of, like, league leaders. Like, if you're leading the American League in batting average and, like, you can be the batting champion, like, yeah, that's something that I'll keep an eye on and I'll maybe mention. But, like, you know, when Vinny Pasquantino comes to the plate for the first time tonight, I don't think I'm going to mention his season batting average. Frankly, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, because I think two things are true about that particular number. One, I don't think it paints an accurate picture of what Vinny Pasquantino is doing right now, because he's hitting, I think, over 300 in the month of May. Now, baseball is such a game of what have you done for me lately? And the truth is like, if Vinny didn't have a great March or a great April, okay, it's May 23rd. Like, what's happened the last week? What's happened the last series? What's happened the last month? And yeah, he's hitting right around 300 in the month of May. That matters a lot more. The other part of it is like, is Vinny Pasquantino's responsibility, is what we hope for him to have a high batting average? I mean, sure, of course we want him to have a high batting average, but I think when we look up at the end of the season, you know, do we care more if he hits 240 or 270 or if he has 80 RBIs or 120 RBIs? You know, like, what is his role in this offense? It's not necessarily to be a high batting average guy. It's to be a high batting average guy with runners in scoring position. And that hasn't quite taken shape yet, to be sure. But, like, ultimately, you look up at the end of the year, his role in this offense is to drive in runs, which is something that, you know, he's still doing. He's still got 29 RBIs. And, like, is that a lot through the first 50 games of the year? Not as much as you would hope, sure. But ultimately, I'm looking at that a little bit more than I'm looking at his batting average for the whole season, which, frankly, until, you know, the season's in the books, until we look back at this season in spring training of 2026, I'm not sure that I really care what Vinny Pasquantino's season-long batting average is.
Are you a fan of, I guess, altering, toying, however you want to phrase it, with the lineup? What I mean by that is Mikel Garcia last year was last year. And as you said, it's about what have you done for me lately. Last year, 107 games, which he led off. He obviously didn't have success doing so. That's a big reason why they went out and got Jonathan India to find a leadoff guy. This year, Mikel Garcia looks like a completely different player. And so therefore, when he has led off a few times, he's been very successful at doing that. Do you think there's an opportunity there to perhaps move Mikel up in the order some way?
Sure. Absolutely. And I think it's because of, like, what have you done for me lately? And Mikel Garcia is a man on fire right now. Again, when we look back at last season, we look at the season numbers, yeah, we see that Mikel's numbers, you know, they kind of fell over the course of the season. But I think we also need to remember that Mikel hit over 300 in the month of May last year, you know, when he was moved into the leadoff spot and it's seemingly, you know, taken that role, you know, really by storm. And then again, it faded down the stretch. And, you know, I think Jonathan India is going to catch fire at some point, and like, he's going to be more of a drawing a walk, get on base guy than Mikel, who's going to do it mostly with, you know, singles and doubles and the occasional home run. He's not going to walk as much as India will, but, you know, depending on how you're scoring runs, how everyone's feeling, how you're constructing the lineup that day. Sure. You know, there's definitely room for shuffling depending upon what the results are. I think that's, you know, what Matt Quatrero and company look at every single day. What is the lineup that gives our team the best chance to win today, tomorrow, and next week?
All right, Gold's going to head to go watch Jack Caglione next weekend in Omaha. We know you spent a lot of time there. Where should he go?
Oh, where should he go? Just hit a pop-up to right field and then watch the wind take it over the berm for a 470-foot home run. Jack Caglione in that ballpark is going to be hilariously fun. And I have no doubt that you guys are going to see a bit of a power display. And, like, here's the thing. Like, that's why, like, some of the numbers in Omaha you have to take with a grain of salt, because it does get super windy up there and the ballpark does play small. And so when you see some of the power numbers, you have to be like, well, like, was that, like, a real home run, or was that, like, a Warner Park special kind of pop-up home run? Like, sometimes the way we think about Yankee Stadium with the short porch and right, that effect does happen to a degree in Omaha. That's not to take anything away from, you know, guys hitting homers there, but like, that's just the reality of the situation. So like, Jack at that ballpark is going to be a lot of fun. Where should he go food wise? I mean, the place that I tell everybody to go in Omaha is Block 16, which is a burger place.
Okay.
in the downtown area. It is one of the best burgers I have ever had in my life. The Croque Monsieur, I believe, is the name of their specialty burger.
Got an egg on it?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's got an egg on it. And it is divine. Their French fries are incredible. They usually have a special of the day that's like outrageous. That's a go-to recommendation place that I tell people when they're visiting Omaha for sure.
It's a good looking burger. No doubt about it.
I'll have to look it up. Definitely have to look it up.
I'm already looking at the photos of it, Jake. I'm already curious, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just trying to get your mouth watering.
By the way, do you
think... I got you.
I, like, this is kind of like looking in the future. Do you think Jack Caglione makes sense as possible? One of the solutions for... One of the options for them to work on the offense later in the season, like July, August, we don't have to put a timeline on it. But he makes sense, right? Because he possesses what they currently miss, which is power.
Absolutely makes sense. I think, you know, we'd be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that that was a possibility or one of, you know... An infinite number of options that could present themselves over the course of the next couple of months, whether it's trade candidates from one team or internal candidates for the Royals or, you know, players on the current roster, you know, turning things around and figuring it out. Like, I think that's an option that we often overlook too. It's like, just because, again, because we talk about like, what have you done for me lately, right? Just because one guy is hitting like this now doesn't necessarily mean that that's what he's going to do a month from now. And so like, that solution may just sort of happen, which would be great, obviously. But yeah, Jack, I think, is absolutely part of that conversation, part of that possibility. You know, given the way that he's performed at Double A, given the way that we hope he performs at Triple A, given his pedigree, given what we've seen from other prospects of his ilk over the last couple of years, being able to make those jumps and those transitions a lot faster than they used to happen for first round picks. First round picks, like, used to be like, okay, we'll see you in 4 years, right? You know, now it's like, oh, they're getting called up left and right. And there are certainly reasons for that, that I think, you know, somebody who's a little bit closer to player development and scouting can maybe explain and understand. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, should Caglione perform the way that he hopes to perform and the Royals hope he performs, that, you know, if that hole still exists and he is pushing the envelope, then yeah, that's absolutely a potential solution. I do think, again, like, I do think one of the things that we overlook is that solutions can be right in front of us before they appear. Like, I know that it has been a rough start to the year for Hunter Renfroe. Like, there's no way around that. Offensively, defensively, it's been rough. And we bring up his track record all the time because there is a track record that exists, and that does matter at the major league level. And when it comes to Hunter Renfroe, like, look, he does have a hit in 5 of his last 6 games. Like, that's not nothing. You know, we can't just look at that and say, oh, well, he's still hitting only 182. Like, yeah, he's hitting 182 for the season, but he's got 6 hits in his last 7 games. That matters. That counts. And 3 of those are doubles. You know, that matters. That counts. And, like, I was looking into this the other day. Like, I remember the beginning of last year, Renfroe's numbers were pretty darn similar around this point of the season through about, you know, 35 games, 100-ish plate appearances. They were almost identical to what they are now. And then we saw Hunter turn a corner last year in mid-May. And I looked up the numbers. From mid-May to the end of the season, he hit .262 with 15 home runs. You know, like, that's a very different player than the one that we've seen in the first 30-some-odd games of the season. And that's a player that, like, yeah, is a part of your lineup that you can count on. And so I know that, like, when you see results that aren't great, we can be very quick to say, oh, you know what, that's it. Doesn't have it. Time to do something else. But I think that there's a benefit of the doubt that he's earned that we should be giving him, especially while the Royals are still playing well as a team. And I think that, look, when you hit safely in 5 of your last 6, and, you know, 3 of those are the extra base hits that haven't been happening over the course of the season, yeah, we're still waiting for the first home run. Personally, I'm not ready to give up quite yet. And I no doubt neither is he. Neither are the Royals, and I don't think they should be either. I still think that there is room for a turnaround here that can bring a solution from somebody that's already on the roster.
Jake Eisenberg, you'll hear him tonight and throughout the weekend on 96.5 The Fan as he joins us each and every Friday as well. We appreciate it, man. Enjoy some good food up there in Minnesota as well.
Oh, yeah. Love it up here. Great, great time of year to be in the Twin Cities.
Absolutely. There you go. Jake Eisenberg with us here on Cody and Gold. Yeah, the recommendation, I appreciate. I appreciate the recommendation.
Looks like a good spot.
Omaha.
You guys going to go?
Sure, we can figure it out. That will be one of the options. I was going to say, before he eventually got to the food recommendation, I was going to give him a hard time. Like, what a baseball guy. You asked him, where should I go? And he brought up where I should go in the stadium first.
I meant in Omaha.
I know that's what you meant.
He eventually got there.
He got there. I was about to give him a hard time because he initially was talking about on the baseball-only route, but he gave us a solid burger recommendation right there, it sounds like. Look, I wish I could be as optimistic on the Hunter Renfroe turning around thing. I would love for that to be the case, but I just, and the Royals are obviously being very, very patient on that.
And like we've said before, the best case scenario is that he just hits and crushes the ball every second, and then he becomes a regular in the lineup. Yeah, it's fine with me. Like, I think sometimes it's like the rooting against. It is hard right now, though, because to his point, and I mean, he's even the play-by-play guy, so like, you know, in their cases, they're careful sometimes, and they should be, with players they got to see every day. To this point, Hunter Renfroe's play has in no way backed up his ability to be on the field every game. Bad offense, bad defense, bad base running. So, like, he's been a liability a huge chunk of the year. He's been a net negative player a huge chunk of the year. But sure, for easy use, I hope he hits 300 the rest of the way, man. I mean, I really do. I didn't interact with him a ton, but like he's a pro baseball player. He's been at this a long time. I hope he refines it at some point. But yeah, I'm not, you know, it is gold. It's kind of hard to be overly optimistic. I will say I saw a headline from, you know what? I'm going to bring this up so everyone can't give Alex a hard time, about Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty.
Okay.
And I honestly think, I can't believe this is Chip Kelly's stance. Ashton Jeanty had media availability because they got the rookie stuff or whatever. And he said that Chip Kelly, the Raiders offensive coordinator, said he didn't want him to do the Michael Myers stance anymore. Right? He wanted him to, like, cool it on that. And it doesn't even sound like it's necessarily about his ability to run the ball, because he does that before he runs the ball, to be clear. Ashton Jeanty had said that he thinks he needs to like earn it and that it's not gone forever, but like he's got to prove that he's a player that can do that. And you're like, what are we doing here? If a player wants to stand straight up as, and he's a giant human, as an intimidation factor in the NFL, he's also at running back. He doesn't have to earn anything. He earned a spot in the NFL. He's a top 10 NFL pick. He doesn't have to prove it amongst the men in order to be there. Why can't he just stand straight up? Why is Chip Kelly trying to police this, man?
I also think him doing that in a Raiders uniform is going to be pretty badass. Like I know that
it's going to be so fitting.
I know it's Chiefs Raiders, but it's going to be pretty badass to see him in the silver and black, just looking like a freaking zombie standing back in the line of scrimmage, waiting to take the ball 50 yards for a touchdown.
Why are they trying to hold your guy down, Gold? You know,
I wonder if this, as you were saying, is just a weird. A weird Chip Kelly trying to show that like he's kind of like in charge thing. Otherwise, I don't get what's maybe someone listen. What's the competitive reason? Is there like a true football reason you don't want that stance? I'm truly asking. It was good enough for him to be runner up to win the Heisman. So I'm just confused what the logic is behind that.
Yeah, if it was football related, then Spencer Danielson wouldn't have had him do it at Boise State.
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. Otherwise, it's kind of bizarre.
He said he won for now. I'm going to try to persuade him one day. I have to earn my stripes and make some place for. You don't have to prove anything to Chip Kelly.
What's he,
the most accomplished guy in the history of the sport?
Not in the NFL. Not
in the NFL.
All it's going to take is Ashton Jeanty taking the first handoff he gets to the house. I mean, yeah, coach, you know.
I just like football more than any other sport.
Let me do my thing.
They would like to erase any sense of a personality you have. It is okay. For the sport.
It's a no fun league for a reason.
It's okay for the sport to be fun. And for Jeanty, that's fun. That gives him an edge. And look, I think the fear for Chip Kelly, Gold, the only competitive advantage I can think of is like, well, now you're making them all mad. Oh, so now they're going to stop me? Because they're mad. They're going to tackle me better? That seems extremely unlikely in this case. How it works in running backs? How long is it going to take him to prove himself in the NFL? He's a running back. He'll prove himself as one of the best five running backs in the league in like a couple of weeks.
I mean, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I believe he's going to step right in and have instant success. I told you, I think he's an automatic like 1,200-yard back for the Raiders.
The Raiders' first game of the season is against the Patriots.
Good test right away. Mike Vrabel defense.
Tough defense. Then they've got the 49ers. Then the Cardinals. I'm sorry. That's preseason. They got they have the Patriots first.
Okay.
Then the Chargers. Okay. Then the Commanders. So the Commanders, you might get a shot with that defense.
Those are some tough defensive lines, honestly.
Yeah, out of the gate for him.
Bears fourth, Colts fifth. It's not really until you get to the Colts where you face a defense that's... I mean, the Colts defense is solid. They're not bad.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that...
I mean, Jeanty doesn't... I mean,
it's
also,
just running
what
backs even on bad teams put up good numbers.
Yeah, and that's the one position that you...
What is his over-under?
We'd have to look at it. Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head. You're right, though, Cody, where it's like that's the one position as a rookie you could step in and put up monster numbers and your team could just be trash.
I just like what?
I know you'll be like, well, aren't they going to have to pass late if they're down? I don't think the Raiders are going to get blown out a bunch with Pete Carroll. Like, we can say, hey, they're not going to win many games. I do think Pete Carroll will make them a competitive football team this year. They will not be, I don't think, a laughing stock to that extent like we've seen in recent history.
Like, if you're Chip Kelly, you don't have to, like, I'm the big dog on the street. He hasn't been a head coach since UCLA a couple of years ago. It did not go great there. Obviously, he was a one-year head coach for the 49ers. His NFL history is like, now I got to earn my stripes for you?
Ashton Jeanty's over-under is 1,075.5.
I'd still take the over. Someone on the text line says it's got to just be, you don't have your linemen stand up like that. It must just be to get a quicker start, more athletic. But again, I would ask the question, and I understand the NFL is faster.
He does that before the snap. He can get low after.
I would wonder, like, I totally get the NFL's faster, but what Drew was saying before, it's like, if you were a college coach, wouldn't you also want him to still start faster in college too? Like, wouldn't you want him to max that out? I understand the NFL can be faster, but why wouldn't you want him to be the fastest possible?
His over-under is higher than Christian McCaffrey's.
Well, it should be. McCaffrey barely played last year. He's coming off a serious injury, and he's older, and he's a back. He's got more mileage on him, all of that.
More than Bucky Irving, more than Chase Brown.
Yeah. Bucky Irving, they had too much of a rotation at times last year. I don't know. We'll see, man. We'll have fun with the prop bets and stuff, I'm sure, when we get much closer to the start of the season. Up next, though, let's talk a bit more about this Royals team and where they were at a year ago on this very date and where they were basically at the end of this month. And if they can get to that same spot, it might surprise you where they were at 1 year ago. Plus, the trash of the day is on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. Yeah.